Welcome to another edition of Five of the Best. This one is going to be about satellites. There's going to be some articles and pictures on the website, as well as some videos. I chose satellites because they're part of life nowadays. They're part of, from your mobile phone to TVs to radio to GPSs, they're just part of life. And this really only ever started not that long ago, back in 1957, with the launch of Sputnik 1. And ever since then, there has been an increase every year of the orbiting satellites. Until from last year, there was an estimated 1,071 operational satellites orbiting the Earth, with an estimated 2,400 X-functional satellites orbiting the Earth. And this is a small number compared to what NASA are currently tracking. They're tracking 28,000 pieces of space junk, which measure 10 centimeters or higher. And 15% of these are old rocket bodies, which are just circling or in permanent satellite orbits. But of that is still a small number of, NASA estimate that there is around 500,000 pieces of space junk, which are under 10 centimeters or lower, orbiting the Earth, which might in the future cause a problem. But all right, let's get on with it. Satellites start their life on the launch pad, most of them, and after a 40-minute rocket ride, most of them reach a height of around 1,500 kilometers, unfold its solar panels, and then make their way to their position where they're going to satellite the Earth. The geostationary satellites take around 4 weeks to get into geostationary orbit, and that's at a height of around 36,000 kilometers above the Earth. They live in boxes, 150 mile boxes, and they share the boxes with up to seven other geostationary satellites, and they have to be constantly altered their position because of the pull of the sun, the pull of the Earth, pull of the planets, and even the pull of the other satellites. So they're constantly maneuvered to stay in the satellite box. In fact, most satellites become reach the end of their life not because of electrical faults or electrical problem. It's more likely to be the fact that they have run out of maneuvering fuel. When that happens, generally the geostationary orbits, they get pumped even higher above the Earth, and they've still got to be monitored and they still got to be maneuvered even up there, but they are no longer working satellite. They're just another satellite orbiting the Earth. And of course, the lower satellites, like the weather stations, the space station and spy satellites, when they run out of fuel, they are basically just left to fall back to Earth. Or majority are, but also a majority get pumped to a higher orbit. Anyway, the next satellite I'm going to talk about has been used by nocturnal travelers for thousands of years and has been orbiting the planet for about a billion years. I'm talking about the Earth, the Moon. It's generally considered to be accepted now that the origins of the Moon is as a consequence of another planet striking the Earth at a specific angle and tearing large mantles off the Earth, which formed rings and eventually formed a Moon around the Earth. Probably a very similar fate probably hits Mercury as well. But probably the only thing with Mercury is the planet probably hit it smack on and it knocked all the mantle off the planet, and all that's left of Mercury is the iron core. So you've got a very small, cold iron core, Mercury, and we've got a Moon on Earth. And the Moon was a very disruptive feature on Earth once it formed. It orbited a very much closer to the Earth as it is now, probably orbiting once every 4 hours, and the gravitational pull it exerted on the Earth was enough probably for the rock to bend and possibly break as the Moon came over. And there would have been a tsunami practically every 4 or 5 hours as the moon dragged the water over the surface of the Earth. As the time went by, the spinning of the Earth caused like a friction between the Earth and the moon, and the moon is slowly moving away. And currently it is around 297 thousand miles away from the Earth, and is moving at a distance away from the Earth at around 4 inches a year, which is about the same speed as your nails grow. Over hundreds of thousands of millions of years, the moon has gone to an orbit now, which it is 298,000 kilometers away. And this is done because the Earth is spinning. This causes a frictional effect on the moon, which pushes the moon away. And its current speed is it's getting further away from the Earth by 4 inches a year, which is the same speed as your fingernails grow. The moon's size, it is 2,160 miles across, which is a quarter of the Earth's, which is a quarter of the Earth's what it is. One thing is that when the moon did hit the Earth, it didn't just knock off a huge amount of water. Mantle, it actually locked off a huge amount of water as well. And if it wasn't for the fact that this water had disappeared, that everyone would probably be under about 6 meters of water. So the impact on the Earth by Phoebus, the other planet, was probably vital for the feasibility of life on planet Earth as we know it today. There are other things which the moon does today. The moon orbits every 28 days, and it has an effect on the moon, on the Earth, as it acts like a stabilizer, and it means that it does not, it stops the Earth tilting too much, like other planets tilt. Other planets tilt as much, like Mars tilts 25 degrees, Venus tilts a lot, and so does Jupiter. They all tilt between 25 and 30 degrees, and this would be catastrophic for the Earth. The moon stops this doing this, and it keeps it on a stable plane. And although with the moon, with the Earth, the moon's still there, it's still we have a degree of wobble, and civilizations have failed and crashed because of this wobble. The Mayans, there's lots of people which have found that because of this wobble, the Earth tilts and their environment changes and they can no longer survive. So that, with a 23 degree tilt, that would probably make it inhabitable for definitely the humans. But I'm going to talk a little about some other interesting, weird satellite-seeing moons in our solar system. And the first is a run around Saturn. Saturn has 62 satellites, satellite-ing moons, and one of them is called Lapis. And this is a very weird, probably weirdest moon in our system. It's weird because it is made up of two completely different colours. The trailing edge hemisphere is bright white, reflective as snow, and the leading hemisphere is black, and and a lot of astronomers do not know what the black material is even made of. Added to this, there is a provident ridge between the two colours running around the moon, and some people call it the painted moon, and other people call it the walnut moon because of this ridge around the two different colours. Another satellite moon I'm going to talk about is another one. This is called Mimas. This is a satellite rounding Saturn again, and people might have heard of Mimas. It's a very famous moon, and they call it the Death Star moon because it looks exactly like Star Wars, the Death Star. There's a crater which is 150 kilometers wide and almost 10 kilometers deep, and it is thought to come hit Mimas and probably almost destroyed it. And the last one I'm going to talk about is going to be Titan. The Titan is satelliting. No, Triton is a satellite in the medium of Neptune, and one of the largest moons. I've got that wrong, haven't I? One of the largest moons that makes it weird is that it is orbiting the wrong way against the planet's satellite. Most satellite and planets rotate the same way as the moon, the planet spinning, and Triton does not. It circles the other way, and it is, yes, it is a satellite of Neptune. And there will be pictures on the website on seeing, so you can have, look at the website and see these satellites. The next satellite I'm going to talk about is the International Space Station. The idea of an international space station or a space station has been envisioned as early as 1869, but the first operational space station was Soyuz 1 in 1971 with the Russians, followed by Soyuz 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. The Americans had Skylab, which has stayed in orbit for 3 years, manned by three people for 28 days. When that came down in 1997, there's still a clamor for a space station, and a cooperation between America and Russia and a number of other countries. In fact, there are 14 countries included in the assembly of the space station. And in 1998, the first two modules were launched. Over the next, well, at the moment, there are 38 modules. Of these, 14 are pressurized. And the International Space Station at the moment has enough room as a large five-bedroom house. Anyway, after 2 years of construction year 2000, it was ready for residency, and at the time, only two people on board at a time. But at the moment, since it's been expanded, and there are now 14 capsules which are livable, there are up to, or there are, six astronauts at any one time, and the length of the astronauts' missions is a minimum of 5 months. And at the moment, a total of 88 people have lived on board, and from the year 2000 to now, it has always been occupied. It orbits at around 285 miles above the Earth, and to remain at that orbit, it is traveling at around 17,000 miles an hour. Which means it orbits the Earth every 92 minutes, and it has currently orbited the Earth 175,000 times. So there's 175,000 sunsets. And sometimes living on the space station, it still needs water, food, oxygen, and this has to be provided. Well, the oxygen is recycled through scrubbers as many times as it can, so is the water. But this is not enough, as the food runs out, and the International Space Station is reliant on rockets refueling, especially water and air, which is supplied by nitrogen, and the nitrogen is then split into oxygen and water. But also the rockets, what they also do is they reposition the space station so it's in the correct orbit and not falling out of the sky and remains in orbit around the planet. And we've also, it needs a huge amount of electricity, and this is supplied by eight solar panels it has. And these are, once they're unfurled, they are, each one of them is 73 meters long, and they can cover up to 2 kilometers, 2 square kilometers, and they generate power 3 nickel batteries. There's another stuff about the space station, but what I've been reading about it is it's hugely expensive, £100 billion or dollars or whatever. It's still a lot, and the future is in doubt whether they're going to keep pumping money up there when they can sell robots to do the same job. Okay.